I try to like look towards the end of my life. And then when I think about when I'm old and at the end of my life, I don't want to look back and be like, man, I really wish I would have. I don't want to have that thought at all.
Hey everybody, welcome to Repurposed. I'm your host, Jared Sebesta of Taichus Financial Group. We are a retirement planning firm based in West Central Minnesota where we teach and inspire what we call true wealth. And we believe that there are three components to true wealth: purpose, impact, and legacy. If you want more information, go to taichusfinancial.com. Well, on this episode of Repurposed, I'm bringing you a conversation I had with Brent Silke. Brent is quite a guy. He is the founder and director of 30 for Freedom. 30 for Freedom is a movement dedicated to help prevent sex trafficking, rescue girls caught in sex trafficking, and take care of victims of sex trafficking. It all started with Brent's vision to get 30 of his friends to run 30 miles and raise $30,000 all on his 30th birthday. Well, that happened, and that was actually just the beginning. Over the last several years, 30 for Freedom has continued to grow, raising hundreds of thousands of dollars to fight this awful offense against humanity. And in this interview, Brent's going to challenge you to take action with the vision that God has placed on your heart. Here's my conversation with Brent Silke. I've got Brent Silke on the phone here today. Brent, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast here today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Jared.
Well, you are quite a guy, and you have started quite a movement. Is that what you would describe 30 for Freedom as, kind of a movement?
Yeah, it definitely started as a dream, and it's kind of morphed over the last 4 years into a movement.
Really? And tell people just more about it. What exactly is it?
Sure. So 30 for Freedom is a movement that exists to end sex trafficking in our lifetime. And the way that we want to do that is through the platform of running and endurance sports, raising awareness through those sports, and then raising funds so that we can fund nonprofits that we have carefully selected through our board that are doing sex trafficking prevention work, rescue operations, and holistic survivor care.
Right. That's awesome. And let's just, since we're talking about sex trafficking, let's just talk about that for a second. I've heard a number of sermons on this and messages. It is just, I don't know how else to describe it other than just absolutely grotesque. Would you agree?
Yeah, it's such one of the darkest things. And I remember coming across this when I was in college. Actually, at that point, my girlfriend, but who has since then become my wife, she introduced me to the fact that she wanted to go into counseling to help people who have been through trauma like sex trafficking to find restoration. And I didn't know what sex trafficking was. You know, it's 2006 at that point. And I heard a message on it at North Central University. It was a chapel I'll never forget. I had no idea what was about to happen during that chapel. We had David Grant from Project Rescue that came from India and started sharing stories about what's happening to children in India specifically, and the work that they're doing. And I sat there in my seat, Jared, and I was like squirming. I was so uncomfortable. I could not believe my ears that in 2006 that humanity could be doing this to each other. Yeah. And I just, God put something in my heart that day. Some would call it a holy discontent, that I had to be a part of the solution to this problem. And so that's kind of where it all started for me. It was 2006. And then right before I turned 30, it kind of became a dream that God put in my heart to do something. I didn't know what to do. And he kind of gave the holy discontent legs, if you will, so it could run.
Yeah. So, you know, talk us kind of through that, a period, you know, leading up to you actually doing this. You're in your 20s, obviously, at this point. And again, bring people up to speed. You kind of had this vision. Before we get to how it actually came to fruition, just kind of talk about that vision. How, you know, how many years in the making was that? How did it start? Was it just kind of a nudge? Was it a dream you had? Was it kind of a cool thought? Or, you know, how long from when you heard that message to where you actually got to that point? Walk us through that period.
Yeah, I was about 20 years old when I heard about sex trafficking for the first time, and just hearing more about it. And it wasn't in the news yet. It wasn't really like a big thing that people were hearing about or talking about. And every time somebody, I would hear a message about it or I would research about it, I would learn that every 30 seconds that someone becomes a victim of sex trafficking. And then I learned that the average age of a sexual slave is 13 years old. like a seventh grade equivalent. It's crazy, right?
Yeah. Does that happen around here? So, I think I've heard the same gentleman. What was the gentleman's name that you heard speak?
David Grant.
I believe I've heard him as well, and I remember the same impact it had on me. I just remember this is just the most awful, demonic thing I've ever heard in my life. Then, you know, I think he talked a lot about India and how it's really, really bad in India. But maybe even touch on that, the problem in India, but even here in America.
Yeah, the thing that's crazy is that when I, you know, speak to a group or I'm sharing about sex trafficking, people kind of come up and they're like, wait, this doesn't really happen.
Right.
And I'm like, no, this actually is happening all over the world. And it's actually happening here in the United States. And people then are just shocked. They're like, no, this can't happen in the United States. We're too sophisticated. And I said, no, this is happening. And the craziest thing happened for me a year and a half ago. I got a message on Facebook from a girl that I went to high school with. We were on the same track team. I mean, she said, Brent, you don't know this part of my story. I see what's happening with 30 for Freedom. And I just want to say thank you so much for what you guys do. She said, because I'm a survivor of sex trafficking. Mm-hmm. And she was trafficked after her sophomore year of college. She went to St. Kate's. And she was someone who literally went to the same high school, walked the same halls that I walked, and was sex trafficked out of, you know, Minneapolis.
Wow.
So it is happening here. It is happening. And it looks different, honestly, Jared. It looks different here in America, the way that it happens than maybe in a foreign country or in a place that's a developing nation. Sometimes that's more like we have just really sad testimonies in Nepal where people are hungry and they don't have any money. They have no means. And so they literally will take their daughter and they will literally sell their daughter to a trafficker,
yeah,
so that they can eat. And you know what I mean?
And lots of times those little girls, like, they'll just be like stowed away like a prisoner in a cell. I mean, it's hard to even fathom that this is humans are doing this to other humans.
I know.
Yeah. And it looks a little different in America because is that happening in America, or is it more like your friend where it's more or less like they're a piece of property, but they're still kind of going about their daily life? Just talk about that for a second. I'm just to kind of clarify.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the organizations that we're proud to support is called Free International, and they're based out of Las Vegas, but they do work all over the country. And I actually had the great privilege of sitting through one of their trainings that they give to emergency responders and police officers. And one of the things that they shared in that training is that, and educators as well, is that because of truancy laws, most of the people that are trafficked, they're still in school. And so literally they're sitting in these classrooms and they're like giving these educators, these are signs to look out for. These are things to like, hey, if you see a student and there's a drastic change in their appearance, there's a drastic change in the types of clothes they're wearing, all of a sudden they've got all this nice stuff that they didn't have before. They were giving these different just warning signs and red flags to look out for because in some countries or some places, if you're stolen away, you know, people, there may or may not be people looking for you. In America, if a kid goes missing, we're looking for Amber Alert, right? We're looking for this kid. And so the way that the traffickers work more like local or more domestically is it's so sophisticated, and a lot of it can happen through social media and different things like that. But the way that they do it is they get some kind of leverage over a kid. Hmm. And they use that, whether it's pictures or whether it's, pretending to be a certain persona on Instagram or something like that, and like getting pictures sent back and forth. And they call it sextortion, where they're like saying, hey, we're going to send these pictures now that we have of you to all these people, unless you come and do what we want you to do. Hmm. And it's so twisted. It's so sick. But it is happening here in the United States, it's happening in Minnesota. It's happening in the cities where we live. And I think one of the things that we want to do in 30 for Freedom is we want to, number one, bring awareness to it, because we can't stop a problem that we're not aware of.
Right.
And so that's one of the things that we do in 30 for Freedom.
Yeah, it's great. So again, go back to your story. You're in your 20s. You first heard about this at 20 years old. Kind of walk us through again that whole continuum to get to where we are today.
Yeah, absolutely. So heard about it in chapel at North Central University and got wrecked. And I couldn't even like function after that chapel service. I knew I needed to do something. I knew that day I could give. And I knew that that day I could pray, but I felt like God was asking me to do something more, but I didn't know what it was. So I it was on the back of my mind, like throughout the next decade, really. And I'm 29 years old, and I feel like God says, Brent, run 30 miles on your 30th birthday, invite 30 friends to run with you, and raise $30,000 to fight sex trafficking. And so very specific.
How long was that before your 30th birthday?
I had been thinking about it about 6 months before my 30th birthday.
Okay.
And 5 months to the day, on December 28th, 2015, I'm out at Perkins with one of my former youth students. I was a youth pastor in Bloomington at Cedar Valley Church. And one of my students was in the Marine Corps, Yoel Oliva, the son or the grandson of Tony Oliva, great Minnesota Twin. And we were out to breakfast, and he was home from the Marine Corps on leave. And he said, Brent, what's new? And I shared this dream with him. And he reached into his pocket, and he handed me a $100 bill that I believe he got as a Christmas gift 3 days earlier. And I said, what's this? He goes, well, this is for your dream. He said, I hear briefings in the military about trafficking, about how it's happening all over the place. And he hands me the $100 bill, and he says, and we have to do something to end it. Wow. And so at that point, Jared, Yoel put his money where my mouth was. And I literally, after our breakfast was done that morning, went to my car in the parking lot at Perkins. And I sent two text messages. One was to Pastor Mark Dean, who was at the time serving as our district youth director. I said, hey, is there a way that we can help make this dream a reality? And can we get youth groups involved? And can we get people involved? And the second text was to Venture, Paul Herkman and Aaron Smith of Venture. And I just said, is there a way that we can take this amazing platform that you guys have developed and this passion you have to use endurance sports and hiking, biking, and running to make a difference against the injustices of our world? Can we partner this together somehow? And they said, absolutely, we can. And so that was 5 months before I turned 30. I spent the next 5 months reaching out, calling people, messaging people, would you run 30 miles with me? And most people said, no way.
That's good.
That's longer than a marathon.
I'm glad you didn't call me.
Yeah, right. They said, no way. But the crazy thing is that when I told them what it was about, I told them that the average age is a seventh grade kid that's being trafficked and being used and abused 15 to 20 times a day, usually they would call back within a week or so. And they would say, I've been thinking about it. I can't stop thinking about this. I don't like to run. Or even some of them said, I hate running, but I hate sex trafficking more.
Right.
I'm in. Mm-hmm. And so the goal was that every person who would run 30 miles would raise $1,000. There's 30 people, 30 miles, 30,000, 30th birthday, right? So May 28th, 2016 is my 30th birthday. We met at Cedar Valley Church in Bloomington. It was the starting point and the ending point for our race. And my best friend in the world, Micah Mack, was the youth pastor there at the time at Cedar Valley. So he organized a whole bunch of people from Cedar Valley, 75, to do a 5K version of this. And then we had 48 of us that ran the full 30 miler that day.
Whoa.
And when it was all said and done, it was one of the craziest things ever, because our goal was 30,000. And when it was all said and done, we had raised $81,346.
Wow. So you knew you had something at that point.
Yeah. And honestly, people kept, after that it was done, they said, hey, I have other people that would want to do this. What are we doing this next year?
Yeah.
And it was on my heart to do this for my birthday. I wasn't thinking future, like, oh yeah, this will for sure be a thing that we can keep going.
Right.
But so many people inquired and messaged about it that were like, okay, yeah, let's do it again next year. And then we had a whole different level of support and engagement. And the next year we raised $176,000, and it was crazy how it continued to grow. And then Super Bowl came to Minnesota. Right. So then people are more aware of sex trafficking because of all the different awareness campaigns that were happening around the Super Bowl here in the cities. And so then it just continued to take off.
Yeah. So it was 176,000 the second year, the third year, which is last year, 2018. How much did you raise?
It was around the same amount last year.
Okay.
And the crazy thing that we're seeing as we continue to grow engagement, and as people continue to be aware of this, and they have a network of people, and they, hey, I ran this thing, now you should run, is we've decided that it's 30 miles is great, but that's not for everybody, and so we've expanded from the 30 mile to 30 miles, half marathon, 5K, and we actually this year for the first time have a 10K that we've put in there. And so we're getting people, literally last year we had a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old, they're brothers, and they were in the Northland, Minnesota chapter. and they were the youngest two to finish our 5K in 2018, yeah. Which is really neat.
That's awesome.
Two-year-old, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so you got all ages involved, and you're also running these races, not just in the Twin Cities anymore. You've expanded out across the region too, right?
Yeah, there's different chapters, and each year will look a little different depending on where we have people that are saying, hey, I don't want to just run. I want to lead a chapter. And so we have a few people that are going to be in Norway. They're going to be doing a chapter there this year, which is really neat. We have our Twin Cities chapters, our largest. We'll probably have 700 runners just at the Twin Cities chapter this year. And I just am continuing to get more people signing up even now. And we have our Northland Minnesota chapter, which is between three different cities up on the Iron Range. We have a Fond du Lac, Wisconsin chapter, and we have an Iowa chapter. Our Iowa chapter is super strong. And so it's continuing to grow. And as people hear about it, when they say, I don't want to just run, I want to take leadership and I want to be a part of this movement as a chapter leader. That's a whole different level because then they can engage their entire community.
Yeah, that is awesome. And we've caught you recording this podcast like just a couple of days before the 2019 run. Talk about some of the statistics going into this year's race.
Yeah, this has been such a whirlwind, such a cool year. Overall, we're going to have over 900 that are going to be participating this year at different chapters. We're going to see and the things that I've been really moved, honestly. I had a couple that reached out to me and they're engaged and they said, hey, what we'd like to do is we'd like to donate our wedding to 30 for Freedom. And I was like, what does that mean? And they said, well, we're going to come on 30 for Freedom Day. The day of our wedding is the same day and we're going to bike 30 miles. And the groom said, I'm going to wear a tuxedo t-shirt. And the bride said, I'm going to wear a veil and a tutu. And we're going to each bike 30 miles on our wedding day. We're going to invite our family and friends to give to our 30 for Freedom fundraising page in lieu of registry.
Sure.
And then we would be honored if you would do our wedding ceremony after the event in the evening of 30 for Freedom Day. And so they're literally donating their wedding and their bridal or their groom's dinner is actually our spaghetti dinner fundraiser. So they're literally inviting their family to say, hey, let's do this. Let's do something about this. So that's crazy. We had a young adult that said, I felt led by God to give my paycheck. And it just so happens that this paycheck that I just received with my overtime is the largest paycheck of my life.
Wow.
And donating her entire. So, I mean, the things that people are doing, the way that they're sacrificing is beautiful because the heartbeat of 30 for Freedom is that we would move from comfortable to less comfortable on behalf of the poor and the oppressed.
How has this affected?
And that's what we're seeing happen.
Yeah, exactly. How has this affected you just on a personal note, like your faith and your purpose and kind of your journey through life? How has this personally affected you? And even maybe how has this affected your family? You're married with three young kids.
Yeah. Well, I think for me personally, this idea that, you know, because when we, to be very, very candid, when we started 30 for Freedom, it was not in an ideal time to start something like that. And what I mean by that is this, we felt like God was leading us to step out of our role at our church where we still attend and it's still our home church, but to become missionaries and to become campus missionaries, new college ministry. And so to do that, you have to, you know, raise your own support and that kind of stuff. And that's a scary venture on its own. Yeah. But in the middle of our first year of doing that, then God puts this $30,000 dream completely separate into that. And so what I've learned over the last 4 years, Jared, is that where God guides, he always provides. Where he has guided our family, he's always provided. And it's been such an amazing thing to see as people, college students, high school students, middle schools, all the way down to that two-year-old kid, all the way up to grandparents and great-grandparents as they've gotten engaged with this thing. I had a business lady that said to me, she's very, very successful by the world standards. And she looked at me after hearing what we do and she said, if I could go back to when I was younger and give my life to something that mattered like this, I would do it in a heartbeat. Yeah. And it just, for me, it was like one of those things, like, don't take for granted what God's doing in this season and, you know, continue to invite people in to do something that's not comfortable, not normal, but making a difference in the lives of people that they may never meet someday, which is kind of crazy to think about. But just to find purpose and find meaning in serving other people has been really, really cool. not just for me, but just for, you know, for our family, and to see that as a part of 30 for Freedom.
Yeah. Take us back again. When you made that jump, what was, you know, again, that point where it, you know, that conversation maybe at Perkins where you're like, that was the thing that, that did it for me. I think people, if you're listening to this podcast, chances are that, you know, you're a quote unquote, like maybe a high achiever where you want, you just don't want to live the status quo, where you want to have impact. You want to live with intentionality and a purpose. So again, chances are, if you're listening to this right now, there is something that's been stirred in your heart at some point in some capacity. What do you tell people who are at that point? You talk a lot about getting from comfortable to uncomfortable. Is it a text? Is it a phone call? Is it a prayer? How do you get from it's there to actually doing an action to take a step forward to it? What advice do you have for people in that position?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the biggest thing, honestly, is I try to look towards the end of my life. And then when I think about when I'm old and at the end of my life, I don't want to look back and be like, man, I really wish I would have. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have that thought at all. Yeah. And so the thought is, okay, am I going to regret not taking action? Am I going to regret not doing this? And there's a guy named Matt Friedman, who's an international human trafficking expert. And he said that so many people, they hear about something that they say they care about something, but they don't step across the line. He called it the hero line, from caring to action. And I want my life, I don't want to look back and be like, oh man, I should have crossed the hero line when I was 29 going to be 30. I wanted to step across and say, let's take some actions, do this. I had no idea what would happen. I had no idea if anyone would even run with me, if I was going to be running solo on my 30th birthday. But I said, I want to step across this line and do something in hopes that other people would maybe get engaged and make a difference with their life as well. So I think for someone who's listening today, who's saying, oh man, I've got this dream, or I've been all my life, I've really this or that, I think like take a step of action today, no matter how small, and continue taking that step. Because if God puts a dream in your heart and you run after that, the results are up to him.
Right.
And if we don't, that's where it's like, oh man, I should have, I wish I would have. Like, I don't want that to be a part of our vocabulary, especially as I raise my kids. You know, I want them to say, you know what, mom and dad are crazy about whatever God's saying to do, and we want to be crazy too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, definitely. Very inspiring. And again, it's really fun to watch. And again, the effect on your family, the legacy that this is going to leave is going to be incredible. Where do you see this going? I mean, I know that you're kind of year to year, especially at the beginning, but is this to go national, international? What's your vision?
Yeah, I actually have never shared this publicly, but I will share it here, Jared. My prayer in my prayer journal is that 30 for Freedom would have an established chapter in every single state in the United States, and that every year on an annual basis that we would be able to give $1 million or more to fighting sex trafficking through these organizations we support. So that's where I'd love it to go. That's where and that's, again, we're not there yet, but we're building towards that. We're our partnerships are so strong with the organizations that we're working with. We're so thankful, and we could not do this without Venture. So I got to give a shout out to Venture. They are they've built the website for us. They are the backbone of so much of what we do with the raising support and raising support online, and everything, donation receipts goes all through Venture. So we're thankful for them. But yeah, we would love to see this thing expand to every single state and give $1 million a year to fight trafficking.
That is awesome. And again, you're a young guy. I mean, if I do the math right, you're only, what, 34? You will be 34? That's incredible.
Yeah, I'll be actually 33 next week.
Okay, 33.
Because we started at 30 and then, yep.
Got it. It is awesome. And again, the website is great. Why don't you give folks, as we wrap up here in the next minute or so, kind of where people can find out more information and maybe even donate?
Yeah. Thanks so much, Jared. Our website is 30forfreedom.org. We have a social media presence on Facebook at 30 for Freedom Run, on Twitter at 30 for Freedom, and also on Instagram at 30 for Freedom. And so we'd love for people to be engaged and even just to check out what we do, check out our website, see a little bit of the heartbeat of what 30 for Freedom is about. And if anyone's out there interested in partnering with us, man, we would be honored to have you on the team.
Yeah, it's great stuff. And again, the cause that you are fighting is absolutely just such a strong need. And I'm encouraging people out there who are listening to this who have never dove into the problem of human trafficking. It is heart-wrenching. And like we mentioned at the beginning, it's hard to believe that this is actually happening in today's world. And so thank you on my behalf and our listeners for doing what you're doing. Inspiring story. Keep up the great work. Thanks so much for sharing your testimony here today, Brent.
Yeah, Jared, thanks for having me on. What an honor to be with you. And God bless you, my friend.
You too, man. See ya. Well, I sure hope you enjoyed this conversation with Brent Silkey. Like I said at the beginning of this podcast, he is quite a guy. Well, the challenge for you today is reflect on the vision. What's that pull or tug that God has placed on your heart? And the challenge is to actually make a move on that today. Make the phone call. Make the text like Brent did. Become a person of action. And remember what he said. If God provides the vision, he's going to provide a way. Again, if you want the website for 30 for Freedom, it's just that, 34freedom.com. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Repurpose. Just a reminder, this show is based on a book by Ben Tages called Repurpose, The Untold Story of Retirement in America. If you want the first two chapters of that book totally free, go to our website, tagesfinancial.com, and click on Heard Us on the Radio for your free gift just for listening here today. And as always, a big thanks to Faith Radio for helping us sponsor this program. If you missed any or all of this episode, visit myfaithradio.com to hear or download the podcast there. I'm Jared Sebesta. We'll see you next time on Repurposed.